lovely wife, Marcia, your brother. As usual, I have a couple of things I'd like to give away. People still listen to CDs, I think. This is a group I never heard of before, Jeff Deolite. Jeff Deolite, and this was probably from the 90s. And some of the songs are The Light Scripture, Ray of Light, Bless the Lord, featuring Rita Springer. It's like a Christian rock and roll band. If somebody wants this, they're free to have it. Pardon? Back there, Dan? Come and get it. Well, I got this book here that you might want, Cindy, called Total Forgiveness. When everything in you wants to hold a grudge or point a finger, your answers are in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. The amazing thing is that earlier in the week, I knew exactly what I was going to talk about. But anybody that knows me, I have these, I don't do things easily sometimes. It's like, I remember one time I was, one of the first times I was ever going to preach, and I couldn't find out what I was going to say, and I couldn't find out what to say, and I finally said, Lord, how come you make me wait to the last minute to get an answer? And he said, because you made me wait to the last minute. I was like 47 by the time I came back to the Lord. And ever since then, I'm sort of, he trains me for that way. I can set things up, and I can have notes. And then something like this morning, I woke up. I was supposed to do this yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening. I knew what I was going to talk about, but I didn't know how to present it. I knew the fish were there, and I didn't know the lure to use, and which one that he wanted to do. So I got up this morning, and I just, oh, Lord, I sit down, and I just start praying. And as soon as I started praying and just saying, you know, I could have worked harder to get this message. I could have worked harder to find out what you wanted me to say. And all of a sudden, I just started thinking of something, and it came really easily. And I started to make notes, and then I started to say, nope, no notes. Because to make notes would be a little hypocritical of what I'm going to talk about. And for you to be taking notes, the same thing. Anyway, we as a congregation, new people that don't know, our visitors here, is that we recently took a Q Place course. It's an outreach for evangelism, so questions, so we can ask people questions or answer their questions or have God answer their questions. Good training. And then at the end of the training, it's sort of like hung there. And I decided, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to have a Q Place and give people an opportunity to lead a Q Place. And what we're going to do is the other people coming in, the Christians, we have to have a role. We have to know who we are, because we're all Christians. And to make it effective, we need people not to be Christians. So I would write up these descriptions, like the what was the first topic, Luke, you led? How could God allow evil in the world? So I had to write characters for people like, well, you were involved in the cult, you don't believe in God, or you do believe in God, and little things like that. People, I went to Sunday school as a child, but now I don't. I believe there's a God, I believe everything is in God. Sort of the general feeling you'd get from the 75% of the people that are walking out there. And so Luke and his wife Christina led the first group. And I tell you what, I don't know if anybody argues with Luke, but if you're going to argue with Luke, Christina, I know you never argue with your husband, but you got to battle with this guy. He is smart and he knows exactly what to say, ask good questions. He was just doing really cooking. He was speaking it out, and we would come back and in our portrayal as the lost, we would argue with him, and he'd come back with another question, and we kept going and going, but it was a deadlock. Nothing really moved in this. And we did it the second week. I tried to change the characters of the people, make them a little more agreeable, a little more searching, but it still hit the same thing. There was a deadlock. Nothing moved. And afterwards, Luke, who I thought did an outstanding job, said, man, this is really hard. This was hard on me, trying to draw the unbelievers into a place where that they would understand who God is, or God would answer their question. So then Friday night, we did another one. We started another one, and Patrick God bless him. Did an outstanding job. What was your topic? Yeah, is the devil for real? And this time I made everybody, I said, I'm going to make it easier. So everybody was either had seen The Exorcist and they were afraid of the devil, or they, one person had dreams all the time, bad dreams. So I set it up so that everybody would be willing to step into it. And as Patrick went through the program very well, he did all of the program, and this is a program geared to lead the lost into the kingdom. It still wasn't working well. People were arguing and different things. Where's Rogelio? Oh, man, Rogelio was great. He was a tough cookie. No, but it was very good. But at the end of it, and I was reminded of it, and I was thinking about that this morning. Here's all these people, and they have a character, and they know who they are, and they're portraying that character, and they're acting in that character, and they're trying to find an answer. Answers they have that would bring them love, to bring them into relationship with God, the Father, or Jesus Christ. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working. We knew we were going by the rules. We knew who we were supposed to be. We were answering questions and as a person like that. And made me think of something. It's almost like when you're getting married, right? In some cultures they have, you never meet your husband or your wife. They find your wife for you, and they find your husband. And if you're Christians, you know what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to, the Word of God says that women, you're supposed to submit to your husbands and respect them. And men says you're supposed to love your wives above everything else. And I think God told Adam and Eve, you know, just like you leave your parents and you cleave to one another. So that's easy, right? For all of us people that have been married, that's been really easy. All we have to do, men, is love our wives, and wives love our husbands, and everything's going to come out fine. But it's a little more complicated than that, isn't it? Our relationship with each other in marriage is very complicated. It's not like we just follow the rules and try to be this person. I'll be this way and you be that way, we're going to live happily ever after. It doesn't happen that way. It's a battle. It can be really a battle in that way. We can love each other, and I can love my wife, and she can respect me, but it doesn't always work out that way. And I thought of a situation where the wife is thinking, okay, this evening, I just want to be alone with my husband. Marcia might be thinking, I just want to be alone with Robert, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix him a nice dinner, and we'll set some nice music, and just make it just very comfortable so that we can spend some time together. She says, I just feel like I just need to be loved a little bit by my husband. And I come in and she's saying, I'm fixing this food for you and we're going to do that. And I say, I can't do that. Why? I've got a Bible study. I have to go pray for somebody. I go lead a Bible study. Or I got another job. I picked up some extra overtime hours. I'm going to do that. But honey, I wanted you to stay home. Well, yeah, but I want to get some money here. We got to worry about our future. We got to do this and that. Or I got to go out and do work for the Lord, right? How does it make the wife feel? She says, I just make this nice dinner, and then he's leaving, and the wine, I'll have to put it back in the wine cellar or whatever it is. I have to turn the music off. Then I come home later and say, honey, oh, boy, it was really great. I preached really good. And then she says, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, that's fine. She doesn't respect me. I went out doing the God's work. I want to do the Lord's work. And I'm not getting the respect that I deserve. And sometimes what I'm trying to point at, it's a role we find ourselves in. Going by a role. Here I am I want to provide for my wife and I'm going to work. Or for my children. My son might be saying, Dad, let's go out and throw the baseball. No, honey, I can't do that, son. I got to study up. I got to make a presentation tomorrow. I got to do this and that. So you never develop that bond of love between you and your son. You're always trying to be the good father or the good husband or the good Christian. Trying to be the good Christian and do everything God tells us to do. And saying, Father, I'm going to do this for you and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to pray for that person. And I'm going to encourage this person and that person. But sometimes within ourselves, there's something missing. It's almost like a husband that says, you know, my wife doesn't respect me. Or a wife saying, my husband doesn't love me. And people say, well, does he provide for you? Oh, yeah, he works all the time. He goes to work all the time, brings home the money and this and that. But there's something missing in my marriage. And for some of us, there's something missing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father. And that's what we're going to do today. That's what I felt the Lord wants us to do. There's an exercise. I think that we've done this several years ago. And what I'm going to ask us to do is to... I think before I go there, I think I'm going to invite my lovely wife, Marcia, who's smarter than I am. And who I love very much, right? Okay.
That was a demo, right? It was a demo. How easy a marriage relationship is.
It's on.
Oh, it's on? It's on?
Yeah.
Ah, good. Good morning. I wanted to talk really briefly about this exercise Robert's going to do with all of us in a minute. And what this is about is listening, beginning to listen to the Lord. There's a scripture in Luke 6:46, and it says, the Lord is speaking, and he says, why do you call me, and you don't listen to what I say? So when you pray, a lot of times when people pray, you hear this constant, like a shopping list. I need this, 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 and this person needs this, 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 this. It's this constant, like, edict to the Lord, and it's just filled up, and when one person starts, the next, or stops, the next one starts, and they put their shopping list in, and it's, no one's listening. We're calling the Lord, and the Lord's going, yes, and then we just keep talking and talking and talking. And like in a relationship, when that happens, when one person talks all the time and doesn't listen to the other one, the relationship breaks down. And what the Lord has to say to us is so important, so valuable, so much more important than what we have to say, I believe. With the things the Lord has told me in my life have changed me completely. And I'm so grateful for that. The Lord sees things in a very different way than I do, thank goodness. And it has a changing and remodeling effect upon me. And it causes me to make different, to act differently in situations than I probably would have. And the result is always better. But it depends on learning to listen to the Lord, on learning to shut off that internal noise and quiet yourself and listen. I really have come to a point where I believe prayer should be at least two-thirds listening and one-third talking at the most. So when we call the Lord... And there's another scripture I like in Luke where it says, he talks about the man who listens knows how to build his house and builds it on the rock. The man who listens. So this is something we want to start encouraging and get better at. It's something I would like to be, spend the rest of my life getting better at. There's one other piece to it. And we're going to use Psalm 23. And the reason for that is in the first verse of Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I believe that when you are in want, it shuts off the Holy Spirit. Because there's so many things to want. I mean, beyond money or food, there's being important and being loved and having status and all these things you can want. And a lot of our prayers have to do with that. But suspending that want is essential, because then the Lord becomes your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So for the Lord to take that position in your life, speak to you, you've got to cut that off, at least for a brief period of time. And our culture is based on want. I mean, the advertising, we're surrounded with want. It's flashing at us all the time. So it's not an easy thing to turn off. But it's essential that it's another part of hearing from the Lord.
Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to break the mold, because traditionally in churches, and you're our new visitors here, but I want to tell you, how many years ago we took Zeke to UC Irvine?
Oh, gosh. At 1992.
1992. We took our son to UC Irvine. He was a freshman, so we drove him down there, and we went to his dorm room, and we prayed for him and left. And we were just hoping that everything would be fine. It turned out his roommate was a Christian, so that worked out well. And he ended up graduating and went to Japan and had a wife, and now he works for Amazon, has a really good job, 3 children. So I want you to know this is the seeds that you've invested in your son and the prayers that you've invested in your son will bear fruit. And you can release him, and son, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a really good time. You are going to have a real good time. Nobody to tell you what to do. We've all been there. And you're just going to grow, and you're going to become the man that that God wants you to be and your mother wants you to be. So we're welcome that you're here today. So what we're going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask everybody to stand up, take your Bibles, find a psalm if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there'll be a psalms starting with Psalm 100. It's going to be on the screen. For the next several minutes, I would like everybody to pray aloud. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. We don't have to pray together. You could be praying different things. I'd like you to pray in Mandarin. Anybody's a Mandarin speaker, speak out loud in your language, whatever it happens to be.
I pray we mean speak the psalm out loud.
Pardon?
Speak the psalm out loud.
Speak the psalm out loud. Brother Pastor Ricky, I call him Pastor Ricky. Pastor Ricky started the whole thing. The Lord organized it. He's walking around and handing the microphone. And as each one of us proclaimed the Lord, the Spirit just got brighter. The room got brighter and brighter, got freer and freer. I got more encouraged. I'm thinking, how am I going to talk about what I just heard in 15 minutes this morning? But after that exercise of us praising the Lord. So we're going to do this, and after several minutes, we're going to stop. And then we'll go from there. So ready? Begin. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, may you see the good rejoice with the multitude of people. You want to walk around you, free to walk. Break out the mold. Thank you. Okay, we can just sit down now, just quietly. We've engaged the Lord. Now this is what's going to happen. You're going to sit quietly for the next 5 minutes, and the Lord's going to speak to you. He will speak to you. Just close your eyes and listen. He will speak.
Just still your mind.
We're going to call you back from the arms of your loved one.
The throne room.
I did this exercise back in 2004. And I remember asking the Lord, because he gave me a word, staff of life. I said, why did we do this? Because my word is the staff of life. My word is the bread that you eat. And I'm going to ask you guys to do this for the next 21 days. Take 30 seconds or sometime during the day, evening, say the word of God, and then remain quiet for an equal amount of time. A 21-day exercise. Some of you have already gotten a word today. And next week we're going to ask what the Lord said to you. He spoke to you. And share it. And it'll just continue to share.
So during the week, if you feel the Lord has spoken to you, jot it down.
Yeah.
And so when we come back, we can share what the Lord is speaking to us. What did that feel like, doing that? Did you...
Did anybody here today feel that the Lord spoke to them?
Or was it...
You saw a picture?
Like the grave and the stone, like this rolling stone from the grave. Yeah, that's all I see.
Well, that's a good sign. The stone was rolled away from the grave. The purpose of this is the whole exercise we talked about is to be set free in our relationship with God. As the bride of Christ, that we walk as free. We can tell our husband what we need. We can tell him the love that we need. As he pours out his love for us, and we are his bridegroom. But he wants us to be have an open relationship with him, to ask questions. And as a result, as we're open with him, we'll be open with each other. Because Jesus is alive, right? They had him in that little tomb there, and they would have come and set him up as a monument. But he's alive, and he's out touching all of us.
And we will get better at hearing the voice of the Lord, which is the foundation of it. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I had sort of those same things going through my mind, trying to hear from the Lord and saying, okay, now what, how much time do we have? We have to get out of here. I'm just doing it. But at the same time, I know the Lord's here and I know he's spoken to us. And many times, it is those pictures. It is those things we stress with. You can say, well, Lord, I'm doing this and that. And he says, well, why don't you just give that to me? Give that stress and all those things you have to give it to me, and I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. I'll give you a timetable that you can work with. Yes, Patrick?
God has sent me a message. He said, I love you, so I give you holiness. And that scares me. That really scares me because I am a piece of dirt. I don't deserve holiness. So that gave me a little bit.
Well, that ought to be an ongoing process.
What
We're
happens?
We're going to hear more about that.
When the Lord told Patrick, I give you holiness, and you receive that, you know what he'll do? He'll make you holy. He'll show you every reason why you're holy. And it's not because of anything we do, but it's because of who he is. You have your hand up? Yeah, go ahead. I'd like you to hear you share.
I have the Lord was basically just like, trust in me and give your thoughts to me. I think that would really help if I could give my thoughts to him because I'm still in school and you have a lot of stuff to deal with in school. So if I could give my thoughts to the Lord, I would have a lot of stress off of my back.
If you could give your heart?
Your thoughts
to the Lord? Well, tell you what, this is the way this works. This is the way that works in the kingdom. You sit there, son. In Jesus' name, we just ask the Holy Spirit to come and bless this young man. Bless his thoughts, Lord. Give him thoughts of freedom, Lord. Give him thoughts of creativity. Expand his imagination so that he sees all things and knows how much you love him. In Jesus' name, amen. And on that, I guess we can all stand. And
let's just say a quick blessing.
Quick blessing.
Do this for the next week. And I'm excited.
Steve Stewart will be here, the excellent teacher.
What you have to share with us.
So, Father, we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that you've given us. Lord, you escaped the grave, Lord, and you've said, we have escaped the grave, every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Bless us on this day. In Jesus' name, they all said,
amen. Amen.
So if anybody wants to prayer, we'll be in the Joshua house.